born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes, she tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be well.
I'm here with Dustin Messer, who is a writer for Kuiperian Commentary. And Dustin, you have written quite a very interesting piece. I want you to set the background of your article on Kuiperian Commentary. And I will preface that by saying that as of today, we have had around 57,000 visits to that article alone, and hundreds of share and on Facebook and on Twitter, various other social media outlets. But to set a little bit of the context of your article, and then we'll talk a little bit about it and why it has drawn so much attention.
Well, thanks, Yuri. One of the things Pastor Dobson said was that he wasn't drawn to the center or the status quo or the orthodox, but he was drawn to the edges. When I heard that, I just thought, well, that's exactly right. I mean, that's exactly like the people I talk to almost on a daily basis. They have a disposition toward questioning, towards not being in the mainstream. You know, they don't want to go to the Gap and wear the exact same sweater as everyone else. They have a real aversion to popular culture and towards the mainstream, so they have a disposition towards being on the outside. Well, the thing about that attitude, which it can be a very helpful attitude, and there's nothing particularly wrong with that, except that it's very, very relative. You know, it works well when the mainstream and the popular culture is wrong, because then you're on the outside and you're in the right. But what happens when the pop culture is right or is good, and then you're on the outside and then you're wrong? So it's just, it's an attitude, and attitude can be good or it can be bad depending on what you're reacting to. So when I heard him say that, and I heard the sermon generally, I just thought, you know, this really encapsulates, it really captures the spirit of the age. Mm-hmm. And which leads to the sentiment of the age, which is that any sort of certainty or any sort of, we'll call it orthodoxy, is suspect. So I felt it was a good thing to write about, because maybe this would shake people a little bit to say, you know, in trying to be not in the mainstream, actually what's happened is that people are entering into this other mainstream, because Christian orthodoxy is not in fact the status quo among my peers, among Dobson's peers, and I know among your peers either.
The article is entitled Following Rob Bell, The Edges of Faith and the Center of the Zeitgeist. You can read it at Kuiperian.com. Dustin, with almost 60,000 visits to this particular article, how has the reaction been?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the first 8 hours or so, it was up. It was sort of the circles that you and I are in, sort of, you know, reformed evangelical folks, and obviously we got good feedback from it. Because of the nature of the subject, I think, it sort of just took off and got a lot of shares, more certainly than anything else I've written. And broad evangelicalism, a lot of megachurch pastors sent emails, and people who aren't necessarily in my circle, but they also had really favorable responses. You know, I mean, they feel the pressure to join the zeitgeist, to be in the status quo of the culture, to bend the knee to Caesar, as it were. And they appreciated someone sort of calling a spade and saying, you know, it really does take some gumption and some bravado to accept one exclusive sovereign of Christ. Then, as you know, it got into sort of just more general Christian circles and even people at Mars Hill. And obviously since then, the response hasn't been as positive. I've gotten a lot of emails. I think I'm somewhere between Hitler and a Pharisee in their eyes, and they didn't appreciate the tone and that sort of thing. So there's sort of three different groups reading it, and they're all having super different responses.
Well, the tone is something I've read in the comment section, that they were criticizing you for the biting personal language. Can you defend that use of language?
Yeah. You know, it's one of the things, I've written a number of articles, obviously, and this is really the first negative thing I've written. And I have no animosity towards Dobson or even towards Rob Bell. And I can feel, Dobson himself hasn't contacted me in any way, but some people around him have who are, I guess, his friends and people in the church and others. And I really feel for him, you know, they really like him and they're offended. I'll just say the reason there are some comments in it, like his shoes or a reference to Portlandia, besides that Portlandia is just a great show and why not mention it, is I'm not just trying to criticize an idea. It would be easy if I was criticizing an idea. I'm trying to criticize a mood which leads to an idea. And when you're talking about a mood of questioning, a mood, sort of relativism, that does get into cultural things like your shoes, like your posture, like your tone of voice. So because of that, I felt like describing those elements by going into the particular of the person in the moment, maybe that mood could be questioned a little bit.
Right. You've referred to Dobson as a fundamentalist. Now, what do you mean by that expression? That I think it comes with a lot of connotations. I'm just curious as to your specific reference to Dobson as a fundamentalist.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you know, I mean, the modernist fundamentalist controversy in the 20s and 30s was a reaction to liberalism, and there were people who rightly said, no, we have to defend the truth. Well, since that particular modernist fundamentalist controversy, which was a specific historical context, there are people after that who became known as fundamentalists who kept the disposition of defensiveness, of fighting, of protecting, and they sort of divorced it from those fundamentals of the truth that, say, Jeb Packer or Martin Lloyd Jones would have been talking about when they would use the word fundamentalist. And then it's just sort of, we take the strict position on everything. Which is fine, you know. I mean, sometimes we do need to take the strict position on something, the abuse of power or something. We want to restrict that. But then, when it comes to questions like, say, of your use of alcohol, well, the fundamentalist took the absolute strictest position, which was alcohol is evil. Well, when it's divorced from a good, from a beauty, like orthodoxy, like scripture, well, in fact, scripture doesn't take the strictest view possible on alcohol, right? It says it's good in certain ways. It says use it moderately. So there are times when you have to have a disposition of strictness. There's also times you have to have a disposition of moderation, like an alcohol. There's times you have to have a disposition of liberalism. My goodness, the Gospels are full. We have to be radically loving, forgiving, gracious people. And so I refer to him as a fundamentalist because I felt that he wasn't, you know, he's really not talking about a beauty, about a good that he's going to go after. He's reacting against an ugliness, and I'm sympathetic to that, because I do think there's ugliness that out there. But I just think that you have to be motivated by a beauty, by a good. You have to have, orthodoxy. And then when you're motivated by that orthodoxy, you know when to be questioning. You know when to be, you know, quote unquote liberal, and you know when to be quote unquote strict, and you know when to be quote unquote moderate, because you're not relativized of I'm on the left or I'm on the right. You're saying I'm under Christ's sovereignty. And whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it, right? So in that way, I thought he was approaching the situation more from a disposition and a mood, and I felt like that was sort of a fundamentalist way to go about it.
Dustin, if I could ask you to speculate a bit, to be a bit prophetic in your analysis, where do you see the Mars Hill movement, or we can even use the word the Mars Hill mood, going? Do you see it headed towards an abandonment of traditional Christianity, which in many ways it has, but do you see it continuing that route to the point where they will abandon the fundamental elements of the gospel found in the creeds?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just criticized who John Frame would call Machen's warrior children. So in Christianity and liberalism, what Machen's trying to do is trying to say there actually are two different things. There's Christianity and there's liberalism, those who are denying anything miraculous in the text of Scripture, basically. And as And there was a time in this article where cultural capital was gained by being a Christian, and so the liberals had a stake in still holding on to that capital, to the institutions, to the hospitals associated with the faith. As that cultural capital is depleting, and in fact, as in many parts of the country, you're spending cultural capital to be an Orthodox Christian or to be a Christian of any kind, there's not going to be a reason to stay in. So the divide between Christianity and liberalism is going to grow, I think, even wider. So where I see it going is, I just don't know why you get up in the morning and go to a church if you don't think Christ really rose from the dead, or if you don't think there really is certainty to be had in Scripture.
Right.
So I don't even know that it's going to be a cohesive movement in 20 years. I think it's just going to cost so much to carry the name Christian that maybe there still will be groups who get together and that sort of thing. But by and large, there's just not a lot of reason if you don't think that Scripture is true, that Jesus really does rule over all. I don't think there's a lot of reason to stay a cohesive, unified group of people who tithe, who wake up and observe any sort of liturgy.
Dustin Messer, who's a writer for Kuyperian Commentary, you can read his writings at Kuyperian.com. That's Kuyperian.com. We're discussing his article, Following Rob Bell, The Edges of Faith and the Center of the Zeitgeist, which has drawn tremendous attention. Dustin, thanks for your contribution, and I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it, my friend.